Hello once again, this is Hugh Crosskill reporting. Opposition parties in Guyana are calling on former U.S. President Jimmy Carter to intercede in the build-up to this year's general election. As Sharif Khan reports from Georgetown, the opposition parties are accusing government of dragging its feet on the implementation of electoral reforms.
The Opposition Working People's Alliance, the WPA, has faxed Mr. Carter, urging him to dispatch a mission to help thwart possible fiddling with the electoral roll through house-to-house enumeration, which begins in 1 week. Opposition leader Dr. Chetty Jagan has also written Mr. Carter, advising him the ruling People's National Congress is attempting to derail and sabotage electoral reform agreements Mr. Hoyt reached with the former U.S. President last October. Dr. Jagan has also told Mr. Carter, government's alleged delaying tactics are creating what he calls an unstable political situation, and he's asking President Carter to make a return visit here as soon as possible. The Elections Commission has ordered the National Registration Center to begin compiling a preliminary voters list through house-to-house registration for 3 months from Monday. Government has agreed to limited monitoring of the registration by opposition scrutineers, but the opposition parties say they are getting no information from either the Elections Commission or the Registration Center. Controversial Elections Commission Chairman Sir Harold Bollers is flatly refusing to talk to reporters about the opposition claims. Opposition parties say that President Carter's center helped to ensure voter registration was accurate for elections in Panama and Nicaragua, and it should be involved from the beginning to the end here to guard against fraud. In Georgetown, Sharif Khan for BBC Caribbean Report.
The Guyana Human Rights Association has strongly condemned the government's support for the interim administration in Suriname, which was installed by the military after the Christmas Eve coup. The human rights group has cabled its concern to CARICOM Chairman Michael Manley and Trinidadian Prime Minister A&R Robinson. Guyana's President Desmond Hoyt is the only CARICOM leader to have stood by Suriname since the coup. Mr. Manley, in condemning it, called on CARICOM to review Suriname's observer status. Venezuela called for economic sanctions, and the United States has cut off aid. Last week, President Hoyt met with Suriname's interim president, Johan Krag. After that meeting, Mr. Hoyt said bilateral agreements would not be affected by the coup and added that Guyana's line on Suriname was an independent one, consistent with Guyana's own interests. There are an estimated 60,000 Guyanese people living in Suriname. The border dispute between the two countries has been put on ice, and the two countries have agreed not to block offshore oil exploration in areas yet to be defined as belonging to one or the other. Former Jamaican political and trade union activist Richard Hart has criticized CARICOM governments for backing the U.S.-led military action in the Gulf. Mr. Hart was one of the famous 4-H's expelled from Jamaica's People's National Party in 1952 amid allegations of a communist conspiracy to take over the party. In the early 1980s, Mr. Hart served as Attorney General in Grenada during the Maurice Bishop administration. Mr. Hart, now based in the United Kingdom, believes CARICOM has hurt its own image by supporting the Gulf War.
It seems to me that what the CARICOM governments are doing is a straight case of bootlicking, of curry favoring. And if you're going to try and curry favor in order to put yourself in the good books of the United States, do it intelligently. I mean, don't sort of totally commit yourself in a way where you have no longer any need to be rewarded. So I think the thing has been handled in an unintelligent way.
What would you like to have seen CARICOM governments do then?
Well, I think it should have been made perfectly plain that the responsibility for arming and preparing Iraq for this sort of thing was the responsibility of the Western powers, particularly Britain and the United States. Secondly, that this was a matter which should be settled between the Arabs themselves and was not a matter on which there should be a plunging of thousands of people into a war which can only have the most horrible consequences.
But aren't you asking then the Caribbean to sort of adopt a posture that was tried in the 1970s and worked against them? They many of them suffered as a result, Jamaica in particular.
Well, I have a great deal of sympathy with the predicament that Michael Manley found himself in. In the 1976 period, he took a very principled stand on non-aligned issues and condemnation of imperialism. Now, where did that land him? In fact, the working classes did not maintain their support for him when adversity on the economic front struck. So he found himself in a situation that with another opportunity of being in office, he was going to make it quite plain to the United States and to the financial interests that he was not going to repeat that very strong period of posturing